We're spending time talking through these chapters in the book of Exodus. Here we are in Exodus chapter 25. We sort of had an introductory portion where God mm-hmm. told him to build the tabernacle and to collect the materials necessary for it. Then we saw in the second section, starting at verse 10, the command to build the Ark of the Covenant, mm-hmm. which was really the core of the whole thing.
Right.
Now, secondly, we come to this starting at verse 23, where God tells him to build what we call the Table of Showbread. And this was part of the furniture that made up the tabernacle that was to be built there in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. So who's going to begin our reading here?
I'll read a little bit. Let's see. You shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, a cubit its width, and a cubit and a half its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold all around. You shall make for it a frame of a handbreadth all around, and you shall make a gold molding for the frame all around. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold. Put the rings on the 4 corners that are at its 4 legs. The rings shall be close to the frame as holders for the poles to bear the table. And you shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold that the table may be carried with them. And you shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and its bowls for pouring. You shall make them of pure gold.
Okay, we'll talk about in a little bit what that table would look like. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's consider first and foremost just what were the dimensions basically of this?
It's about 3 feet long by 1 foot and about 6 inches wide and 2 feet and 3 inches high.
Okay, so you know you're not talking about it except the table that we're sitting at right now mm-hmm. is substantially bigger than this table of showbread.
Yeah,
and again, it was to be made of wood overlaid with gold. Mm-hmm. Okay, it had that same system of rings. We could show the graphic for people to show them just what it looked like. It had this system of rings and poles so that people wouldn't grab onto the table directly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was to be there in the tabernacle. Matter of fact,
the holy place.
Yeah, exactly. We have a very interesting representation of this. You know, these models that we show people, these graphics, obviously they're not photographs. Were you guys aware of that?
Well, I thought maybe Moses had like his iPhone.
No, they're not photographs from back then. They're obviously models based on the description. Okay. But it's unique with the Table of Showbread. We have a actual ancient representation of it from the Arch of Titus. When Titus came and conquered Israel in about 70 AD in commemoration of the great victory and the spoils that they took from the temple, they showed a couple of the spoils. Mm. And one of the things, it's up there in our graphic right now, on this Arch of Titus, they show the golden lampstand, which we'll speak about in a moment. But they also, and here's kind of a close-up of it, they also showed the Table of Showbread. There you don't get such a great outline of it, and there's some trumpets, you know, that were also in the temple, not part of the Table of Showbread, but this is sort of a side view of the Table of Showbread. Mm. Okay, so there it is. You build it. You got this table. But what's on the table? I think if you go back to verse 30, you'll see something about what's on the table.
It says, you shall make its dishes, its pans, its pitchers, and
we got a little bit. Verse 30 right there. Did I say 30?
A little farther.
Okay.
And you shall set the showbread on the table before me always.
Okay, this is why we call it the table of
showbread.
This was a table that you put bread on. But what is showbread? Listen, I know what pita bread is. I know what Hawaiian bread is. I know what wheat bread is. What's showbread?
It's award-winning bread.
Award-winning. Best in the
show.
Best in show. Right.
That's
blue ribbon bread. Okay.
Blue ribbon.
That's pretty funny though.
Yeah. It could be.
Okay. Good.
No.
Okay. What is showbread?
Literally, it's bread of faces. It's like this. It's meant to be this face-to-face bread. Bread of presence, almost.
Wow. So. What was sort of the symbolic idea behind the Table of Showbread, having it there in the tabernacle?
Well, the idea that we want to meet with God, this idea like you're going to be in His presence face to face, fellowship, we're communing together, we're having a meal together.
Later on, it says how many loaves of showbread that they're supposed to put, how many loaves were they supposed to put on there?
Why
12?
According to the number of tribes of Israel.
So it was sort of a representation. Here's Israel, and I want to have fellowship with them. Now, we shouldn't neglect the idea, as it was present in the ancient world, the idea of eating and fellowship was very strong. So God was saying, I want to sit down and have a meal with you. I want to eat with you. I want to sup with you. Mm. This idea is very strong in the Bible, and it's reflected by the table of showbread. Mm. Okay, now, check it out. What's the first article of furniture that God described in building of the tabernacle?
The Ark of the Covenant.
Which sort of represents what?
Like the core, like this God,
his throne,
his glory.
Atonement, getting right with God. Then what's the second thing he describes?
Fellowship. So it's
like
this picture of God is this transcendent, holy God, but he's also that intimate, personal God.
He draws close. He wants to have fellowship with his people.
Now, when fast-forwarding, you know, we always want to think about, where's Jesus in this? You think about, how does Jesus represent the Ark of the Covenant? Well, Jesus is God.
Yes.
He is God.
And he is our atonement. Right.
Here, you know, I think about when Jesus says, I am the bread of life.
Right.
And you think that when Jesus said that, would people have gone back to this or maybe more the manna idea?
I think in that context, they would have thought more of manna, mm-hmm. but it also applies to this.
Yeah.
I want to have fellowship with you. I want to meet with you. I think of it more as applying to what Jesus said later on to the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Remember what he said to them? Mm-hmm. If any man... or behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, I will come in him
and
sup with him and dine with him. I want to be so close to you. It's like we remember bread of faces? Face to face, we were eating a meal. Hmm. That's why the table of showbread was in there. Now, if you were to take the top off the tabernacle, and we're going to discuss kind of more what the structure of the tent itself was like later. But if you were to take the top of the tabernacle off and look down upon it, we got a visual for this, you would see the table of showbread there on the right with the bread there. You'd sort of walk down, or a priest, you or I wouldn't walk in there, but a priest would.
Right.
He'd have the golden candlestick, the golden lampstand, I should say, not candles, golden lampstand on the left, the table of showbread on the right, and then in front of them, the veil and the altar of incense. But it was right there, and they were supposed to change those loaves of showbread once a week. What would they do with the loaves on the table of showbread after?
Were they able to eat the bread and actually consume it?
Who was able to eat it?
The priest.
Right, because it was holy bread. Mm. They gave it to these men who had been consecrated in a special way. But it's like this, God wanted it to be eaten. Mm. Now, let me ask you this. Why didn't God just leave the same old bread on there for a couple of months? Why did that have to be changed at such regular intervals?
I think fresh relationship.
Yeah, I think it's this daily fellowshipping with his people that he wanted.
Okay, how many of our listeners right now, our viewers, honestly, the bread on the table of showbread is pretty stale in their life.
Mm.
They haven't changed it out. They haven't had any fresh fellowship with God. They haven't had a renewal of that. It's stale bread. And God says, no, I don't want that stale bread.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to come back regularly with this bread of faces and meet with me.
Yeah. The idea of like, a couple years ago I had a sweet time with the Lord. You know, that camp, you know, back in 1995. Wow.
Oh, he really met me.
Really
wasn't
met
it beautiful?
Me there.
And praise God for what happened back in 95 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But what's God doing in your life today, right now?
That's cool.
I'm afraid that the bread on that table of showbread is pretty moldy, isn't it? No, instead it needs to be fresh, nice, warm, and it's precious before the Lord for that very reason.
Wow. I'm just thinking, though, you just mentioned that only the priests were allowed to eat the bread, but there is an instance we remember of David coming in famished, fleeing from Saul.
Yes, very respectfully, he asked the high priest if he and his men could have the old showbread, because they were famished. Mm-hmm. Later on, Jesus brings this up as what? Well, in sort of this debate about his disciples, and Jesus used it to establish the principle that human necessity is of greater value than religious ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, David and his men at that moment of necessity could eat the bread that was normally given just to priests.
Wow.
But you know what, don't we have a claim to priesthood? Mm-hmm. I think so. He's made us kings and priests, haven't we? This is our part under the new covenant. God says, no, you come into my tabernacle, you come into my presence, and have this fellowship with meal just as much as we were sitting across a table and enjoying a meal together.
Wow.
That's the table of showbread.
Cool.
All right, we'll break here and pick it up our next time with the next item.